Hey, what's up, everybody? Welcome back to my podcast. And today's guest is none other than Kyle Hines, the first repeat podcast on my podcast. And today we talked about, obviously, retirement. It was just a quick non-preparation, no kind of notes. I made some notes during the podcast because some questions arose, but it was a really raw conversation with one of the greats in Europe, 16 seasons of legendary European championships and domestic championships and all of the above. So enjoy this conversation about his retirement process, about his decision-making process, and what he's looking forward to in his next stage. And if you enjoy this podcast, please share, please like, please comment, and subscribe, obviously. Thanks for being here and see you soon. Bye. Kyle Hines, my man, the first repeat guest. Welcome back.
Oh man, happy to be back, man. First of all, man, congratulations to you on first of all being a champion. I know you've been all over the place this summer, and I've been, you know, sending comments to you, but congratulations on the championship. And congratulations with the success of the podcast. You know, we've been talking about this and, you know, talking about the podcast for a while now, and, you know, everything, you kind of the ups and downs and the eaves and flows of the podcast. But congrats to you on the consistency and the success of it. I mean, it's been great to listen over the past few years. So
I appreciate it, man. I appreciate it. You're the first one, like we talked on that episode when you were on at first. You're the first one for me to talk to about it. And you know, like, it's always a little bit uneasy when you start something new, especially if you have Absolutely. Different roles. Yeah. So it's been a wild ride. It's been, like you said, ebbs and flows. And you know, the more you do it, the more you figure out really obviously the crowd. I have a lot of listeners in Lithuania, so the Lithuanian yeah. episodes do much better. But I think there's just as much value in the English spoken ones, you know. So it's kind of frustrating at times when those are not as well listened to, because the Lithuanian crowd, obviously, and there's a Lithuanian name on there, they rather yeah. you know, it's more relatable, I guess. But that's something I it's not like I post and ghost completely, but I just enjoy the process, and I'm sure people draw value from every episode, the ones that are listening to it.
I mean, that was my favorite part about when I was doing the podcast, and the main reason I wanted to do it. Like, for me, it was the process of doing it. And then also, like, just having an opportunity to have conversations with the people with different walks of life that were involved in, you know, in basketball or involved in sports, period. So to me, like, that's what I get the most from your podcast. I think, you know, me knowing you, I think it's like, just like, you just love having conversations, love getting to know, you know, other people's processes, how they see things and how they do things. But I think also as a listener, I think it's because you interview so many unique guests. It's not like you're just interviewing just players. Like, you know, I think in the last episode, you interviewed one of the referees, you interview, you know, sports directors, you interview nutritionists, you know, people that are mental health coaches, different things like that, that get to talk about, you know, different aspects, because there's so many different aspects of basketball and sports, period. And many people, the common person would just look at it, the coach and the player, but there's so many other different aspects that kind of come, you know, come that come around with that. And I, like I said, that's why I love your podcast, because you show a different point of view of it. So it's pretty cool.
Yeah. Appreciate it. Yeah. It's all encompassing. I try to do that. It's all in, cause there's so many things behind the scenes that not many people think about. Yeah. And as we live those lives, it's kind of, you know, evident what you can talk about and what other people that not really would think about. So I'm enjoying that, just to have eye-opening conversations for a lot of people. And for us, you know, you can even dig more into detail. But today we're going to mm-hmm. dig into your retirement process.
I got to show you this though. Like, my, so this is just random here, but this, you be still in Boston, got this IT.
Oh yeah. IT, baby.
This is 2017. So my son has uncovered like all my old Slam magazines. So he's six years old now, and he's like going through all of them, and he's like looking at like Slam magazines, like Encyclopedia of Basketball, especially if you look back during those times. So I've been like showing him like all the different players and this type of stuff. So this one was the latest one we looked at. And I was just so happy, you know, you're a big, big Boston guy. So I just happened to see that right there when I was talking to you.
Yeah, that's cool. That's cool. Now we're gonna talk about all sorts of things in Boston. Yeah. Obviously, if you see in the background, you see a whole bunch of things. I actually, guess how much I prepared for this episode?
How much?
Like,
tell me.
Like this much. Like this much. Zero.
We don't need a repair, man. We have these conversations all the time, man. So,
exactly. Yeah. Exactly. Off the cuff is the best thing. And we had to move around a little bit because there's so much reflection of the trophies you have in the background. Like how many trophies overall? Like if you have the whole collection in Europe, how many trophies do you have a count? Because I lost count.
I only have a count because of the retirement. People have been telling me telling me about my stats. So I think it's anywhere between 23 and 25 or something along those, like of all the domestic and European championships that I've won. So I mean, I've been very fortunate. I mean, there's two Euro leagues up here. The other two, I think my dad has. And then there's some medals and different things up here. This is like my fake, like ESPN broadcaster background. I tried to make it, with all all these like different interesting things and books and all different type of stuff. But I've been very fortunate to have the opportunity now to reflect on all those things that I've accomplished. Because like when you're in the thick of it, you're in the middle of it, you really don't focus on that type of things. You're focusing on the now, and I think that's kind of the gift and curse about professional sports, or when you're playing professional sports, is that you're always worried about what's next. Soon the season's over, you start the off season preparing for the next season. You kind of forget everything else that you kind of went through. So this time that I've been able to have, like I've been able to kind of reflect and go through old things and look at old newspapers and magazine covers and talk with different people. So it's been fun. It's been fun to kind of have this reflection period.
25. Well, let's round it up 25. By the time you're like 50, it's going to be like, oh, I want 40 trophies. And then
every 5 years it goes up.
Boy, that's crazy. You're not ashamed of yourself at getting that many trophies? Like, just like, man, I'm hoarding everything and what's possible, just maximizing it all.
Yeah, I'm more upset about, I'm more upset about the ones I didn't win.
Yeah. which one sticks out the most right now? First thing
on the one that always comes to mind is the ones that I thought me when we were together and Cheska. Like I thought that was the best collection, the best, most talented team that I ever played on. And yeah. I thought that the basketball guys, just didn't allow us to, win in the Final Four, and Maccabi had that excellent run. But that's the one that I felt like, because we had the most talent. And, I felt like that was the one that I was there that I thought, we were playing well. And I thought that was the best opportunity. And then this past year, the Italian Cup, we played in the Italian Cup and we lost in the finals to Naples. It hurt a little bit more just because we won the first two games. We were kind of like in a different period during the season, won the first two games pretty handily. And if for whatever reason we had our worst game, probably of the month, during the finals. And it kind of hurt for me personally because, like I said, like I knew coming in that this would probably be my last year. So it was like, I wanted to have that opportunity to win the Italian Cup. And me, when I first started my career in Italy, like the Italian Cup was a big, big thing, for me personally. So I wanted to win that. And then, like I said, my kids were there. So my kids are looking at me and they're crying, like, how come you didn't? Like, they don't really understand because they've been fortunate to see me win a lot. So it's like, how come you didn't win? What happened? So I had to explain it to them. So I think those two are probably the two that, the one that was like most fresh and the one that I think always lingers in my mind.
Yeah. Yeah. Now I can see that. That's also what sticks out. Now you said that you went into the season kind of anticipating on knowing what's taking you through that process of anticipating to retire and thinking about like you went in like 100% into the season knowing that you're gonna hang it up after that, or was that something that like you're gonna feel it out and kind of leaning towards it?
I wasn't 100%, but I'm self-aware. Like I'm very self-aware about where I am, where I'm at in my career, where I was at skill-wise, where I was at also off the court, with the family and everything like that. So certain things start to become more important. I think I'm gonna say before this time last year, when I was leaving to go back, I think it was one of the most difficult times it was for me and for my family to go back because, you know, we have a house here, you know, my kids are getting older. So they were, building relationships and establishing relationships and, you know, they had built those throughout the whole entire summer. Same with my wife, you know, with her parents and, you know, my parents. And so I think that was one indicator, that, you know, that I felt like it was time just because of the family aspect. And the second indicator was like, I just kind of knew, like I said, I'm very self-aware. So I kind of knew that this would probably be my last season in Milan, unless that we would win the EuroLeague or whatever, something would happen where they would just want to have a reason to bring everybody back. I kind of knew the direction that the team was going in. So I knew that in my heart, in my mind, I wanted to finish up in Milan. But I always said at the time, I said I was 95% sure. Like I wanted to kind of be mentally prepared. And I wanted to kind of go into this year to try to enjoy everything, to enjoy all the small things, to try to make the most of the moments, you know, the little things that, you know, sometimes as a player, you take for granted. So I think that was, and then I always left it open because I knew physically that I could still play. Like I knew physically, I still had the skill level. I knew that I could still play, maybe not be a top, you know, whatever player in whatever league, but I know I could still play and still, you know, help a team win. So that's why I left that percentage open because I was like, I don't know if there's going to be an opportunity, which there ended up being some opportunities, but I didn't know if there would be some opportunities that would be like, okay, like this is enticing and I want to play one more year or so, whatever.
Yeah, it's kind of, it's hard to go into a season kind of, you know, completely determined to retire. But you, as you said, you try to enjoy every moment. So you kind of put it into a season. And because it sounds like the priority shifted, just basically it's like the priority shifted family wise. You just got a different step is coming up. And then when you know physically that you could still play, I think that's the thing that it's even more. So, because Šiška also retired a little bit too early, he could still play physically, and it was kind of, and we never went into depth of like how much longer. You never know. There was some injuries here and there, but in hindsight, like I know a lot of players talk about it, like play as long as you can physically, because once it's gone, it's gone. But the other part, the family part, is just as I mean, it's important as well because you're shifting lives, basically, you know, and then you prioritizing that. That's much more respectful. I think that's something that you have a priority shift, basically, you know. After basketball, this is, you know, I dedicated and your family dedicated the time to you while you were playing, and now you dedicate the time to the family and a different part of your career coming up.
Yeah, I mean, I think the family component was a big reason. Like I said, my parents are getting older. My wife's parents are getting older. So a part of me, and I knew that there were going to be moments in my kids' lives that I didn't want them to miss. So I think that was a big part of it. I did want my kids to grow up in Europe and experience that culture and have that, have that opportunity to grow and to experience that. But I did feel like there were certain parts of, having to come back home after 10 months and, you know, seeing my kids have to like reestablish their relationship with their grandmother, or reestablish a relationship with certain people, or like my mom missing out on, you know, my daughter's like dance classes or my dad missing out on my son's like basketball game. So now that we've been home like the past like 2 months, they've been able to do that. And you don't know how many times like I've overheard like my wife's parents or my parents or just my kids in general to say, oh, you know, normally I would have to take a plane and go 10 hours just to see you do this. And, you know, I'm able to kind of, you know, see you at dance practice, or I'm able to kind of just drive down the street and, you know, see you or stop by for dinner. And so I think those things are more gratifying, than a plane. And then also, I mean, we talk about the play till the wheels fall off, but at the same time, like, I had that in my mindset, but I was very fortunate that I had great help throughout my career. And I didn't want to be limping, the final lap of my career. So I think that was a big point. And I didn't also, like I said, I took the family part of it. Like, I still want to be able to run around with my kids. Like, I still want to be able to be healthy. And if I want to go do pickleball or paddle or do all these different things, I still want to be able to do it. I didn't want to, like, be injured and, you know, not be able to have or enjoy my life after basketball. So I think those are kind of like, you know, the two biggest things why I decided to basically retire.
That, and it, like, that had the same word in mind, gratifying, gratification, emotional gratification is so much more important in that aspect. And I think that this is the most logical decision you can make. You go through it, you know, the emotional decision would be to keep playing. And that's just kind of like, you know, and it's also fair. It's not like I can see people doing it, and it's, but you know, the more healthy approach is probably thinking about the family, thinking about playing with the kids, which just minor details, but those times together, you can't bring them back, but you can't have them if you're playing the whole time. That's definitely something that makes complete sense to me.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, and I think, like I said, I think it's gave me peace. And also the way I kind of approached it, like, knowing that, like, this would be my final year, like, I was able to, like I said, really enjoy this year. Like, even though we were, you know, going through the ups and downs of the season, but I was able to really enjoy it and really kind of try to make the most of it. Even us knowing that it possibly was our last year living in Europe. I mean, hopefully eventually, maybe one day we'll be able to move back. But knowing that it's my last year in Europe living, you know, we try to take advantage of it. We try to go on as many trips as we possibly could. We try to, you know, meet and talk to as many people we possibly could, have as many people as we possibly could visit, so that way we can kind of share, you know, our experiences with them. And then, like, even with the guys in the team, like, just trying to enjoy the small moments in the locker room and the moments on the buses, on the airplane, and, you know, going to team dinners, and, you know, even the worst moments, you know, trying to, you know, enjoy coming out of that, those adverse moments, the situations together. So, I wouldn't have changed it for the world. The way the season kind of went about, I think it happened perfectly. And, you know, like I said, I think it was the best situation for me.
Yeah. I wonder now what you say, like, you going into it, and I don't know if some teammates knew or not. I don't know if you shared it with anybody, or we just kind of want to keep it inside for you to internally to be happy about and just kind of absorb the moments for yourself. But I wonder if, you know, like some players in the past in the NBA, like Kobe, like, you know, they announce it early on, and they get, like, you're well beloved in Europe, every EuroLeague arena. So I wonder if there would have been, like, did you not want that, you know, like a reception and everybody's just kind of like having ovations and having some gifts and just kind of having this moment of respect from other arenas, because you left a lot of legendary moments in Europe as well.
Yeah, I mean, it was something that that I was kind of bouncing back and forth on, just because being a foreigner, right? I think that, like, when you retire, you know, as a domestically player, a player that's living inside the country, you still get a chance for the fans, the supporters, to give you those goodbyes, give you that admiration. And me being a foreigner, you know, once I left Europe, or once I left Milan, and I knew that, like I said, hopefully one day I'll be able to come back and live there. But I knew that it wouldn't be part of my daily routine, you know, to be able to go to games and for fans and for people, you know, to be able to, you know, for me to have this interaction with people. So from that standpoint, like, I thought about, you know, announcing it before, or, you know, talking about it before. But you know me, like, I'm a very team first guy. And, you know, I didn't want to selfishly feel like I was putting myself before the team, or being a distraction of the team. And then also, I just kind of felt that I'd rather keep it internal, because then I felt like it would be more organic for me to enjoy it. Like, you know, it's like, if we're going to games, we're going to places, like, I can actually enjoy it myself rather than, you know, or with my family. Like, my family knew, my wife knew, my mother knew, like, people that were, like, kind of close to me kind of knew, or kind of had some idea about it. But I didn't want to kind of make it this, like, big spectacle of this big retirement tour or victory tour, victory lap type of situation, just because to me, it just, that's not organically who I am. And I thought, like, you know, I just didn't want it to be about me. I'd rather just kind of be about the team. And then I was like, you know, when I decide to retire, when I decide to make the announcement, then I'll have that moment. But yeah, that's kind of why I did. I was bouncing back and forth, and, you know, my, like, some people, I, like, had told me like, no, you should do it this way. So you, like you said, give the fans a chance to, you know, show you love and everything like that. But like innately, that's just not, you know, who I am and what, I guess you could say, what is the most, you know, important to me, I guess you could say.
Yeah, as you said, organic. It's an organic process, because if you would have announced it early on, even if it would have been just within the team, like it's still rumblings, and you know, then some certain gestures or some way the way things get worked out, you know, it's some conflict. It's a different process. It puts a little wrench in it. I think in terms of distraction, in terms of mindset dynamics, it changes a little bit of that. But you, like you said, it was very organic, but just keep it for yourself. Did you consult with anybody? Did you consult, besides with your family, did you consult with anybody outside about the process and preparing yourself for it?
I think you know me as well. Like, I'm very big on due diligence and, you know, trying to do my homework behind the scenes. But I talked to a bunch of people. Like, I talked to a bunch of people probably for the last, like, 3-4 years. It's just kind of just, like, asking them what their process was. Like, and asking them, you know, what made them retire? What were some of the reasons why they retired? You know, do they have any regrets, you know, going back to that moment? So, I mean, I talk to almost everybody just in like regular conversation, whether or not it's like, you know, Mike Fatis or J.R. Holden or like all these different guys that like, you know, just in casual conversation, I'll just ask them, you know, like, you know, what, you know, how do you feel? You know, what are you feeling now? You know, why did you decide to do it? And I think that allowed me to kind of understand, you know, that I was making the right decision. Once I kind of see how everybody else kind of went through their processes and everything like that, it kind of allowed me to say, okay, you know what, this is the right decision for me.
All right, Kyle, quick ProBalls.com segment from my sponsors. They are a statistical platform. I don't know if you use them before.
I use it all the time, to be honest with you.
Okay, all right. Good shout out for ProBalls.com. For everybody,
shout out ProBalls.
They have a nice little search engine, and I'm going to do the search with Mr. Kyle Hines. you see my screen?
Yep.
All right. So gonna put you in here. I'm logged in. And so you can follow a player, you can follow teams. And now I typed in Kyle's name. So your most common teammates throughout your career, because you played how many seasons overall? 16 seasons, yeah, 16 seasons. All right. So, most common teammate you played with?
Most common teammate I played with, it would probably have to be, I'm guessing, Nando DiColo, or probably Nando DiColo, right?
Let's try it again. I'll give you another shot.
Either Nando DiColo or Andre Vasevich.
Yes, good job. By a lot.
Yeah, I thought about it. I was like, why did I leave Andre out? Yeah, we played together all seven seasons. Yeah,
yeah, and that was like the most common like lineup. I mean, I'm sure like you guys had the most minutes together.
Yeah, for and, sure. That was, me and him were we always said that the Kyle and Andre show. Kyle and seven.
opponents. The most common opponent you matched up with?
Most common opponent I matched up with. Ooh, that's a good one. I mean, it has to be somebody just as old as me. So I'm going to guess most common opponent matched up with. I would say just because we're played in the EuroLeague around the same time, but we never played in a playoff series together, but we played in Final Four. I was going to say Sergio Yule, but probably not because we never played in a playoff series. Then I was going to say James Giss, just because of our Panathinaikos and Olympiacos matchups. Trying to think of anybody else. Who? Give me a hint.
Okay. It's gonna be somebody on your position, and that you.
My other guess is gonna be
European, but yeah, Georgian.
Toko.
Yep.
Wow. I was close. Well, I wasn't close, but
40
top seven. Yeah, Toko, yeah. Toko was like a young old guy, right? Like you forget like how long Toko has played in Europe. And then I also forget we had two playoff matchups or one playoff matchup in Bologna. And then also obviously all the times we played in Milan versus Bologna too. Yeah, makes sense.
Yep. Like James Gist was in here. He was four, five, six place, yeah.
I was surprised about Marco Bellinelli, but I guess the Bologna at the Italian League games is what matches.
Yeah, yeah. Like cup, final series, yeah. and then regular season. I mean, that adds up.
Yeah.
And one more thing, the records. I was looking through like records. Most offensive rebounds. That was crazy.
In my career?
Yeah. In a game.
Is the most rebounds I had in a game, I think it's 21. So I'm going to say most offensive rebounds had to be like 11.
Most rebounds, 21. And most offensive rebounds, 12.
12. One off.
All right, everybody. If you guys want to have some more fun with your favorite players, go on to proballs.com. You can also follow teams, players, and the stats, the results of your favorite teams pop up right away. Kyle is a frequent user, as we just found out.
Yep.
And
use it all the time to look at stats and box scores and get to know more guys and players. So yeah, it's a very useful tool.
Well, got Kyle's stamp on it. What was that? Was there like the most emotional part of it? Most emotional moment that you like when you internally made the decision or the announcement itself? Or what was the most emotional part of it?
I think leaving Milan, first of all, was the most difficult part. The day that we moved, knowing that because Milan was a big part of our lives. You know, it was where my kids, even though they spent a big part of their lives in Russia, but it was a big part of their early childhood. It was a big part where, you know, our family really got to grow and got to experience and had a lot of memories there. We were really kind of entrenched, you know, in the city and in the culture and everything. So leaving there, knowing that, you know, that we weren't coming back, I think was when it kind of first hit us. And then I think when I made the announcement, like I had made the Instagram post probably 2 weeks prior before, and it was literally kind of sitting in my draft box, and you know, I just couldn't hit the send button. Like
I can imagine.
Yeah, I couldn't do it. So I just woke up one morning, and it was like 5 o'clock in the morning. I just like, you know what, like this is the right moment to do it. So I think then, and then this past weekend we were at my University of North Carolina Greensboro. And I had been inducted into the Hall of Fame. And I think that is the moment where it was kind of real, because that was like something that had been talked about. And they were like, oh, when you retire, when we're going to do it, we're going to do it. So I think that was like the realization, like, OK, like it's real. And I kind of had like a little bit of like emotional moment to myself on the stage, like, wow, like this is it. And I knew that because that was kind of like the last moment of like the retirement tour, like, you know, me going to all these different places and, you know, kind of like celebrating my retirement. I think that was kind of like the last kind of like scheduled stop. So it was like once that happened, it was like, dang, okay, like this is it. We're here now.
Full circle. Yeah, absolutely.
Absolutely.
But again, organic, yeah. Organic first full circle. Like, congratulations on getting into the Hall of Fame. I saw the clips. I saw the video there. I mean, that must have been, like you said, it must have been a really emotional seeing your whole career pass by, you know, and just kind of coming back to the place where it all started and just being there, saying hello, you say goodbye. And I mean, it must be gratifying on all sorts of levels.
It definitely was, but it was almost like going through like a time machine, because like the university changed, but like the bones of the university haven't changed. Right. So like a lot of the buildings, a lot of the things still smelled and still look the same. But the people got older. I got older. So it was like going back, and it was like, you know, it was 20 years since I got my freshman year was 2004. So essentially it was 20 years. So it was like going back, and it was like seeing some of the same people and, you know, walking in and people still recognizing me and all that type of stuff. So it was like you said, it was very full circle. It was like the buildings and everything was still the same, but it was more or less like the people got older. We got older. We all had kids. We had wives. We had all this different type of stuff. So it was definitely full circle, but it was probably one of the best weekends that I've had in my entire life, just because, you know, I had all the people that were there, you know, from that time. You know, and it was, like I said, it was my first time having an opportunity to really go back and share in those moments and those memories since 20 years ago.
Yeah. Now, it must be quiet. I think it's homecoming week, or maybe it was last week at my college. And I was like, yeah. I always think about, man, I would like to go back there just because I still have people there. I still know some people that I went to college with that still live in that town. They're still involved in the school. So it's just so many, and memories just come up, and the emotions that you had. Like, I don't think I changed much, you know. I grew as a person, but my personality didn't change. And I thought, no, that they know me the way I used to be. And it's kind of those old emotions coming back, old stories coming back. That's a cool kind of first full circle moment. I can imagine.
Yeah, I see why people go back to homecoming. Like, I see why, because like I think before, I didn't understand it. Like, I was like, ah, why are you going back? Like, and I see why, because like you go back and like you said, you see all these different people, you get a chance to experience all these different memories, you know, have conversations, do all these different types of stuff. Like, you know, and I said it in my speech, like you kind of take it for granted how much like those 4 years or how much that time you spent at the university really shaped who you are today. Because when you're 18, 19, 20, 21 years old, like you're not thinking about that. Like you're just thinking about, you know, I'm moving on, I'll be back here whenever. But now that we're older, like those 4 years really shaped your foundations and who you are as a person. So to go back and to like, you know, see where people are and to experience those, and like it definitely was like a amazing, amazing, incredible moment.
100%. And the older you get, the more you value different things. You know, when I was in the States, and look, I connect with American people a lot easier and better and quicker. As you know, it just comes way natural just because of that fact. Because I was 5 years high school and college in the States, and I was shaped most of the like first beginning part in Germany and then in the States. And then I came, it's just the way that's the way you start. When you start in university, you start thinking a different way. You start learning different things. You start educating yourself, and then it shapes your mind in certain ways. And that's the thing is that the older you get, the more you value the process that you left behind, the people that you were with. Mm-hmm. Early on, when I left college, I was like, after a year or two, I went back one time, but it was not like, you know, there's a lot of guys coming back first homecoming after they graduated. Just everybody's there. All the people are still there, just kind of partying. And I'm like, the older I get, the more I want to come back. It's just like those are the times that was just like, yeah, I valued much more than I did, you know, 10 years ago. So it's a different.
For sure. I definitely would encourage you to go back. Cause like I said, if you have half of what I felt like, you know, being at my university, then it'll be an incredible experience for you for sure.
I didn't leave a big legacy behind as you did. I was a shooter. I left two ACLs there.
But like, honestly, you'd be surprised. Like, cause like in my mind, like you, in my mind, even though like I've, you know, accomplished some things there, like in my mind, I'm like, ah, there's nobody there that's going to remember me, or, you know, you just don't think. And then when you go back and it's like, wow, like the same lady that was working at the cafeteria, the same person that is like, was your RA is now in charge of like resident housing or so on and so on. And it's like, you know, they remember you and they're like, oh, wow. Like, you know, you don't know, you know, when we did this, like this, we did this, like. And I think those things like have like the biggest impact for you, because I think like it kind of brought me back to like, you never know, the type of impact that you can have on people just by like in general conversation, just by day to day life. You never know that. Or better, what sticks out and what people remember about you. And I think that was like, you know, like I said, it's been 20 years. I'm sure like you'll go back and there'll be people there that have this memory about you or this conversation about you, whatever. And like, you'd be like, wow, like that's, you know, that's crazy that you even remember that.
Yeah, for sure. Shout out to UAM. Boll Weevils, baby. You know, there was a ESPN commercial at that time. We were proud of it, although it didn't make us look great, but it was like, what's the worst mascot? And then we're like doing all this, like ESPN was filming like the ESPN video room, and they were trying to research, they found some mascot, and it's like, no, the UAM on the UAM boll weevil, and then it showed a boll weevil. We're proud of the boll weevil, baby. We're different.
It makes you guys unique, right?
Yeah, exactly. So where are your whereabouts right now, and what's the next stage right now of Kyle Hines' career and life and this journey?
Yeah, so I'm back home in South Jersey. That's where not too far from my hometown. That's where we've kind of made our home base, since I've been overseas. So we've been, I guess you say the first part, of the year or my retirement really has us kind of getting back to landing on solid ground. I think majority of the summer we were so used to, like, we were still in the same routine of like the summers, you spend the summers and then after that you go back overseas. So this was the first year that we didn't have that routine. So it was like doing all the small things, like, because my house essentially became like a storage, because like we would be here during the summer and then we would just, okay, we'll just put this up and we'll put this away until next summer, and the next summer we're buying more stuff and like we're putting this away till next summer. So first of all, it was like going through and filtering all that. Then we had to like figure out like the kids' schools and all that different type stuff, and how we're going to kind of build and kind of develop this everyday routine. So most of like my early part of my summer has been that. I was fortunate enough to be able to go to summer league with the Brooklyn Nets, which was something that was, I would say, a little unexpected, just because I just wasn't necessarily thinking that, these type of opportunities would come right away. I thought like, we'll kind of, be a little more down the line, but as we said before, like you never know the impression that you make on people, in your past. And I think, so I was able to go to summer league and be a part of the Brooklyn Nets staff and have an opportunity to kind of learn from that side.
Front office or coaching?
So in the beginning of the summer league, I was part of the coaching staff, kind of like a guest coach, that you would have, but, I was able to kind of, still be around the game and kind of understand all different type of stuff. And then from there, like I said, I've been able to kind of use that summer league role and kind of like use that to kind of do more of like, I guess you can say, like, I would call it maybe like an internship with the Nets, for the season, where I'm able to kind of just get exposure to a little bit of everything, being on the floor, kind of helping the guys, kind of being a body on the floor. Through some of their, pickup games or those different type of things. And then also kind of learning like really what the NBA life is, and, kind of knowing all that kind of encompass, being part of an organization and running NBA life. So, it's been fun. It's been busy, both, on the home front, but also, on that front as well. And then also just trying to, just see different things I want to do, different hobbies, different
rollerblading,
roller skating, like, little bit of golf, a little bit of, doing some stuff like real estate, reading, getting podcasts, like, doing all the stuff that, like, I haven't had opportunity to do, because I was playing. So I guess retirement has probably been busier than when I'm actually playing, because, when you're actually playing, you have like a set structure and you're like, okay, I have to do this now. I have to be here, versus now, like, I'm still trying to figure out what that routine is and what everyday life looks like. So,
yeah. So what's one thing that you, like, I saw your roller skating and I'm like, all right, that's something I've never seen. And like with the music in the background, I did that when I was like, as I was in the States before when I was six, and we went to Chicago, I think somewhere, and we were like that in late 80s, early 90s, and we were just, that was the thing to do, like, yep, in circles with the music and everything. But what's something you do want to do that you like, risky wise? Because some people, that they don't go skiing while they're playing, and then when they always wanted to go ski. Do you have anything like that in mind that you always wanted to do but you couldn't because you were playing?
I think So like my brother and my cousins, they're really big. My one cousin, he has like this house and it's like 6-7 acres and it's like a farm, and they ride like the ATVs and like the dirt bikes and that type of stuff. So I never got a really chance to really do that because I'm just like, I'm always very wary. Like if I fall off, to like how more to explain to like Coach Messina that, hey,
oopsie.
Exactly. I think also, I want to dig into more of like kind of like the, not so much like the marathon, but kind of like the CrossFit fitness type of like sector. Like I'm trying to figure out exactly what it is, like whether or not that's like, you know, like the marathon, or if that's like the gladiator, or if that's like the CrossFit type of sector, like that style of like competition type of training. Like I want to do something along those lines where it's like, you know, cycling, those like something along those lines. That's always something that interests me. So I think those have been the things that I've kind of doing. And also just like just doing this fun stuff with the kids. It's like we talked about like going roller skating. My daughter went to roller skate party. So it's like I haven't roller skated. So I was like, let me get out there and roller skate, or like just go to different theme parks and like all this different type of stuff. So like, I can really have like more of an active role without necessarily worry about like, you know, all I got practice in the morning, or all I have to, you know, worry about this. So I think those have kind of been like the riskier things, I guess you can say.
Yeah.
And even as you know, even food choices, because like me and you were very like helping diet conscious. So it was like, I would even say like, this may probably be like corny, but it's like, even like some of the food choices, I was like, let me try it, because hey, why not? Like I could try this, or I could try that, or I could try this or try that, versus before I was like, no, I can't eat this. I gotta be very disciplined. So yeah. So those have been the things.
But that's something that Anthony Goods, when he was on my pod, he was talking about it, and he was like, that was the one thing that was, he went overboard with that, because dude, you're not burning the same calories they used to, you know, that kind of can get out of hand real quick.
Yeah. That's why I talked to a couple of guys and they was like, hey man, just watch yourself, because you know, you can, next thing you know, you can gain like 30, 40 pounds like just by just eating normal food, because you're not burning the calories, you're just sitting down. So that's why I said like I want to try to do something more active that's going to still give me that adrenaline rush that I had with basketball. So that's, like I said, I'm still trying to figure it all out.
What's the discovery of, like you said, podcasts? What's something that you discovered in terms of that you're digging into right now, and maybe going in some rabbit holes on YouTube or something like that? What's something that people would be surprised about that Kyle Hines is digging into right now?
I've been really big on communication and leadership style training. So I've been doing a lot of like the John C. Maxwell leadership podcast, and I've been really digging into that. Just because like it's just been interesting to me to see different people's communication styles, different people's leadership styles, you know. Sorry about that. Kind of fun wise, like I always wanted to be like a DJ. Like I always you know, kind of like was like, hey, you know, when I retire, like I'm gonna go do a summer tour and like go to Mykonos and Ibiza or something like that.
I saw some of that. Summertime.
But just like that's kind of been like how like my YouTube, like my guilty pleasure on YouTube, like trying to learn how to do that. But from podcast wise, it's like, I mean, I think we talked about it as well before. Like I'm really just kind of into everything. So like just me, just like if something's on TV, like I'll learn about it on a podcast and that, you know, type of thing. So yeah, I think those probably been like the two that I kind of just say have kind of been like, I guess you can say, what I've kind of been in so far. It's still early, but those kind of been the two things, I guess you would say.
Cool. Yeah, it's cool. Cool. I don't want to hold you long. I told you that's going to be just a quick, quick. We've been chopping up, I think, for 40 minutes already too. But I want you to maybe give your personal experience, advice from your personal experience to people who are about maybe going into their last season. Maybe they are thinking about it. Something that you feel like that, maybe you found out right after you retired, something that comes to mind and of the process going into it, what would you advise for players to look at least?
I mean, my first advice I would say to young players, just in general, I would say, make the most of your opportunity, make the most of your time there, especially as a professional. It's a fortunate but unfortunate that the ball bounces, is going to stop bouncing for all of us. You know, sometimes it's earlier, sometimes it's later. Some people are more fortunate, but you know, especially guys that are playing overseas or playing, you know, enjoy these moments and try to make the most of these moments, because it goes by like this. Like, honestly, it goes by like this. I had the blessing and opportunity to play for 16 years, but I still remember my first season like it was yesterday. So take advantage of these moments, try to build relationships, enjoy, travel, see the world. So I would think, first of all, I would say, tell the younger guys that. The older guys that are thinking about retirement, I would say, as I said before, I mean, I would speak to as many people as I possibly can that are retired or have retired, just to kind of get their point of view and kind of talk about it. I would say, you know, start preparing years in advance of what you want to do, or start kind of getting feelers, because it's always easier to do that as a current player. You have more opportunities. You get more people that are willing to help as a current player than I would say if you're a retiree or if you're a retired player. So if you have interest in media, if you have interest in coaching, if you have interest in front office, you have interest in something that's non-basketball related, real estate, finance, or whatever, really dig into those now and start trying to carve out exactly what you want to do. But as far as the process, like I would say, I think the best advice I got is that you have to be at peace with it. Like, you have to be at peace with your decision. Because if you're not at peace with your decision, then you're not going to be at peace with your second career. You're always going to be chasing what you had, or chasing, or regretful, you know, what you did or how you didn't finish the way you want. So I think, first of all, I think you have to be at peace. And I think the only way you have to be at peace is that you have to kind of look yourself in the mirror and you have to be okay with the decision. Or you have to be okay with the decision moving forward, especially if you know, older, you know, like I'm older, like this may be my last few couple of years. So you just have to be okay with it. I say be at peace. Self-awareness, I think, is a big part of that. I think, you know, you talked about in other podcasts, you know, being very self-aware. But I would say just trying to go about the process, and then also seek out help as far as professional help, because this is an identity change. It's an identity shift. It's not something that's necessarily easy. You know, one day it's almost like you're shedding your skin. You know, you're becoming, you know, something that you identified with. For a lot of us, as a basketball player, as an athlete, you know, for most of your whole entire life. So it's not going to be an easy transition. It's not going to be an easy transition for yourself. It's not going to be an easy transition for your family. It's not going to be an easy transition for everybody around you. So I would say seek out professional help. Talk to a counselor, talk to, you know, somebody that specializes in it, just so that can help prepare you. And it can also help, you know, give you some exercises and kind of put you in a place where, like I said, by the time you finish, you're at peace with it and you're okay with, you know, moving on to whatever is next.
You look at peace, man. You look really at peace, brother. Like that, I could see from the get go, from when we got on the call before we turned on, I just felt like you look happy. You look like really, you're like you're enjoying yourself. You're like, you really know who you are. You always knew who you are, but like you said, you shift. It's an identity shift. It's a complete mind shift in terms of starting a new life. But you look completely at peace and happy and just kind of, you know, like you said, your other things busy. It's good, yeah. Busy. You know, we talked about good stress and bad stress, and it's still good stress. Like, this is good. It's a good life you're living. And, you know, I think that you appreciate every little bit that you got throughout your career until like now. And you're going to continue to appreciate everything else you get.
Absolutely, man. I'm very fortunate and very blessed to have had a career I've had. But I'm very excited about the next chapter. And I think that's what makes me at peace. Like, I'm excited for the opportunity to spend more time with my family. I'm excited for the opportunity to, you know, see what else is out there and experience, you know, a whole different part of life while still being in tune and in touch with, you know, with my previous life as well. So, yeah, I would say I'm at peace. There is times where, you know, I'm watching EuroLeague games or I'm watching games and like I do still get that itch. But overall, man, I'm happy. I'm happy with my decision and I'm happy to, you know, figure out and see what's next.
Yeah, that's cool. No, I can imagine it now, but you have to find the time to enjoy watching the EuroLeague games as well. It's something that like it can itch, I think, like in terms of like, you know, you can still be there, but in terms of like just embracing it and just kind of having the joy of watching it and like, yeah, I did that. I busted that gym, that arena. I've been there. Like, yeah, yeah, I'm done.
you see it from a different perspective, and I'm sure also yourself, like when you're not affiliated with a team or a club, you get a different feel. Like, you can actually watch it and watch the game without actually having any like emotions or, you know, affiliations or anything like that. To really watch it and really kind of just be, you know, neutral about everything. And I think that's the part, like, I'm a fan at heart, but like, you know, when you're playing, you're, you know, you're not that. So, or you're coaching, you're not that. So now, like, I get a chance to really just watch and just really enjoy and be a fan. When I cut it off, I can cut it off. Like, I don't have to worry about, you know, getting cursed out or getting yelled at or the scouting reports and stuff like that. Like, I can watch it, cut it off, and then go about my day. So, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. But I'll tell you, my first year out of CSKA was tough because I started a new job. I was alone. I was in Barcelona at that time. I was just like complete. And I'm watching you guys play on TV, and I'm seeing like, those are my guys, man. What am I doing? I see Aaron diving on the floor, yelling. And like, I see all the, like, everybody I was with. And I'm like, man, this is kind of tough. I'm sitting on the couch here by myself somewhere in the outskirts of Barcelona, just kind of like, I don't know, man. You know, that's that mind shift. But yeah, I appreciate you.
For yourself, you look at peace with that. Like, now think about that moment back in Barcelona, and now a couple months ago, you're celebrating the NBA championship. So like, it, like,
no, it's mind blowing. It's mind blowing. I tell you, and it was a very high up and down ride. It's not like not only ebb and flows in podcasts, but also in the career. Like, you have ebb and flow. I had some lows, brother. I had some situations where it was not like, it was, that's why I celebrated so hard, because I was like, man, you know, you stick it out, and you just kind of like, you feel like, yeah, this is what it's about. Like, it has to be hard.
Yeah,
it has to be hard. It's supposed to be. And there's a different hard for everybody. There's a different hard for a bench player. There's a different hard for the captain. There's a different hard for the player, coach, for the head coach. There's a different hard for the scout. Everybody has their hard. Choose your hard. That's basically it. And now, you, do you want to do it or you don't want to do it? And then if I would have chosen another path, I would have, you know, and Celtics would have won it, and I wouldn't have been there. I don't know what I would have felt even worse. I mean, I don't know. I'm blessed. I'm happy I went through the hard stuff.
Yeah, man. That's why, like, I was like, when, I know we've been talking for another 10 minutes, we're supposed to go over our limit, but yeah, when you, like, I can tell, cause like I said, me, you've had these conversations privately, and it's just like, I can tell, like, you know, when they won the title and you celebrated, and like you said, you're still celebrating right now. Like, it means that way. And even seeing your smile and everything, the way, like you could tell, the same way you said that I'm at peace, I can tell, like, you're at peace because, like, you achieved something. You know that you had a big hand and a big part of that achievement. So, yeah, man, it's cool. Yeah.
All right, brother, man. Let's leave it here for now. Next time when we see each other in person, we're gonna chop it up more. And everybody, Kyle Hines, the retiree, baby.
Take care, man. See you guys. See you guys somewhere.
All right. See you guys.